This past week was certainly a busy one for the U.S. House of Representatives. It was all about the budget as well as the changing of the guard with John Boehner leaving as Speaker and Paul Ryan ascending. The ascension wasn't without delays and potholes. At first, Ryan was the reluctant candidate. Then he had to face and convince the most conservative of the House members that he understood the priorities and their concerns. Joining us now to look back at all this and also to discuss how things may move forward is a political reporter for National Review, Joel Gerke. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
NationalReview.com is where you read Joel's works, along with the many other fine journalists, with the National Review. And is it safe to say, Joel, that as far as being Speaker of the House was concerned, Paul Ryan was the reluctant warrior, I guess we could say?
That's certainly safe to say. Ryan never wanted to be House Speaker. I don't mean that the way politicians who say they're not ambitious, but they are. Like, if Ryan had ambitions, it was probably on the presidential side. And he's always blown off House Speaker. He's refused it repeatedly over the years. Basically, explained that it was sort of the worst of all worlds for him, where he would see his family a lot less. He wouldn't get to do the policy stuff that he really likes to do. And then, if you do think he wanted to run for president, people don't run for president from the Speaker's office. And so it's been, and in most of the time that he's been in D.C., it's been a job where there's been so much tension between the grassroots and the GOP leadership. It's been a job where Republicans go to lose all their support among their base.
Part of what he had to do with to win over the Freedom Caucus was to, that's the most conservative members of the House of Representatives, and in our home turf, Congressman Scott Garrett happens to be one of those caucus members. He had to sit down and talk with them, and this one thing out of that conversation got my head scratching was Ryan claims he wasn't aware that the Boehner regime was using intimidation tactics with specifically conservative members and having them some of them booted off of committee assignments. How believable is that? Because most of us, at least, Joel, were pretty much aware of that stuff happening.
Well, you know, Ryan talked about a few different things in that, and the way it was described to me is the thing that was most shocking to him was, like, most surprising was when he heard that Rod Blum, an Iowa Republican, was not getting campaign money from the National Republican. People say that when he heard that, he was like, "What? That's crazy. That's a really tough district." As far as committees go, you know, certainly there are some committee, at least one member in particular, who Ryan had kicked off a committee, so he knew about that. But on that point, he actually defended himself and kind of convinced most of the caucus that he was in the right. And so they just sort of thought that he handled himself really sincerely, and he said that he wasn't following the back and forth of who was in John Boehner's doghouse at any given moment. He defended himself on the one case of retribution he was involved in, and said he was shocked by a lot of the other ones and would do things differently going forward.
So Joel Gerke, who is a political reporter for National Review, nationalreview.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. With Ryan saying so much to burn his bones, prove himself, extinguish any doubts about him, has he painted himself into a corner now, or can he do almost Boehner-like, well, we went into this fight, but here's the best deal possible, so we'll save that fight for another day type of thing?
I mean, on some level, that's always going to happen, because everybody understands that you're not going to get everything that you want. The question is, are they going to be convinced that they actually went in and had the fight on the front end to get the most that you could? And so we've been talking about it in terms of Boehner wooing the conservatives. They were never as strongly opposed to him as maybe they were supposed to be to play their role. There's a lot of affinity for him in that group. A lot of frustration with Boehner and a lot of skepticism about McCarthy. But a lot of those guys like and trust Paul Ryan and respect him. So when he went into that meeting, he didn't have to do so much horse trading or making concessions to them, but instead said, These are the problems I've diagnosed with how Boehner, the mistakes he made, and what I'd like to do differently going forward. in order to avoid being put into some of those situations. And on a lot of things, they already agreed. And so I think that we're going to head into a honeymoon period where Ryan's going to be given a chance to implement that. And the idea is then that when he comes back and says, this is the best that we could get, people will believe that, and people, because they will have been working on that alongside him for a long time.
And that's something he wrote about, too, back on the October 28th. The article is titled, Ryan Rips Boehner Behind Closed Doors. And he's basically saying that, you basically said Ryan now is going to do semi-regular GOP conference meetings and focus on a wider range instead of backtracking and leading from behind almost like Boehner was doing, just worrying about current issues and events going on in the House.
Well, you know, we just had this big debt limit fight, and this is the case where Ryan caught some heat because he voted for the deal, and it seemed like it was a deal that Boehner was falling on the sword for him. And my sense from talking to Ryan's team and to Freedom Caucus types is that a lot of people they really hated this deal, but they sort of believed that the fix was in from months ago, because of the failure to start having the conversation then. Like, you can't, once you get to this spot, you can't, you know, where you're 3 days before the deadline, you can't actually have a big high-stakes fight and win because you're in a position of weakness. And so, that's kind of what he hopes to do in terms of the issues going forward, is start the conversation a lot earlier.
I've always said that, you know, every industry, entertainment, certainly in films, in you can almost pick anything, that there has to be a changing of the guard or a switch of the generation. And it seems like in Washington, at least, the GOP has been reluctant. It's always been the old guard, the Boehners on one side, the McCains on the other in the Senate. And any new voice that would try to rise up would get batted down or intimidated in the House, certainly. Is Paul Ryan, even albeit reluctantly, taking this seat as House Speaker, maybe the changing of the generation that the GOP needs right now?
Yeah, I think that what you just said is historically true of Republicans. You know, the especially in presidential campaigns, kind of you have to wait your turn. That's why Bob Dole got the nomination in '96. It's a big part of, you know, of George W. Bush winning in 2000. The funny thing is that it's where the Democrats have sort of historically, you know, found somebody to fall in love with and back that person, kind of the way they did against with Obama in 2008. It's sort of funny, though, since the Tea Party came in, because there was so much frustration with Republicans as well as Democrats, the Tea Party electorate really, you know, we've kind of seen that changing of the guard taking place a lot more on the Republican side than on the Democratic side. And so, I mean, even just last night, you saw Jeb Bush having to attack, you know, punch up, if you will, at Marco Rubio, who handled him pretty effectively in that debate. And, you know, guys like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and you know, definitely a much younger, kind of more diverse, you know, field on the Republican side than on the Democratic side. And I think Paul Ryan's speakership, he's the youngest speaker in something like 150 years. That fits into that trend. It doesn't start it on its own, but it fits into a broader thing that's been happening in American politics for the last 6 years.
He's a political reporter for National Review. You can read his work at nationalreview.com. Joel Gerke, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me.